97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning to you. It's a Wednesday morning. Glad that you're in here with us on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Boy, oh boy, just never a dull moment goes by. You know what I'm saying? Kim St. Ange, how are you?
What are you referring to right now?
What am I referring to? Well, I did just never. There's never a dull moment. I got a call yesterday from a Post-Dispatch reporter that we're going to talk about this morning because of this investigation out in Baldwin. So it's going to be interesting.
Okay, that little thing.
They've not posted the story yet, but I'm anxious to see because you're always, as Donald Trump can tell you, you're always at a little bit of a risk when you actually speak with a reporter. You're never quite sure how they're going to report the facts that you give them. So this is connected to the police chief, the investigation into the former police chief out in Baldwin. And somehow my name came up. So we're going to see how that goes. We're going to talk about it a little bit later this morning. Never a dull moment these days, for sure. And now we've got Kamala Harris yesterday wanting to publicly stating that this is was a sitting United States senator who has decided she wants to end the filibuster, which would upset 100 years of norms in the United States Senate just because of their thirst and their hunger to pack the Supreme Court and vote for murder, which is abortion. Same thing, right? Speaking of people being killed, Marcellus Williams got the shot yesterday evening at about 6 o'clock. So justice certainly being done in that situation. I heard Reardon had he had Governor Parson on yesterday to get his take on the whole thing. And that was just before Williams was killed. But Parson is the one that declined to step in and stop it.
Well, what's interesting about the whole situation really is that the victim's family and I guess the prosecutor were both saying they didn't want the death penalty. They wanted life in prison without parole. But that was the sentence. He was convicted of repeatedly stabbing Felicia Gale, or Lisha, I've heard her referred to as that way, back in 1998.
It's irrelevant.
It doesn't really matter what they wanted, ultimately.
Right. It's what the jury handed down for a brutal and heinous crime, which I covered at the time, way back in 1998. And Marcellus Williams got what the law handed him yesterday for the crime he committed. And this sudden demand that he must be innocent and you've got to commute his sentence had no basis in fact whatsoever. So I was happy to see justice carried out in that particular case yesterday. Not happy to see anybody die, but I'm happy to see a criminal brought to justice for the horrific crime that he committed. And maybe there's who knows? Maybe there's another potential murderer out there somewhere looking at that going, oh, they do hold people accountable when they brutally stab somebody 37 times. That's what you have to hope for ultimately. And if they enforced it more regularly, like you didn't have to wait, what's it been, 20 years for justice, maybe it would have more of an impact.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's kind of what we talk about when it comes to crime in the city of St. Louis. Yeah. If you're not holding the people accountable, it sends a very strong and clear message to other potential criminals. Well, you can get away with this here.
You can do anything you want to do, for sure. Coming up a little later, we're going to talk to our friend Jeremy Cady. For many years, he was with Americans for Prosperity. Now he is a political consultant. He's been consulting with a number of groups, including one that is a no on Amendment 3. So absentee voting's underway. I'm a no on Amendment 3. I want you to understand why we are no on Amendment 3. But my voter guide is going to be coming out soon. And probably maybe tomorrow. My goal now is to have it out by tomorrow. But today we're going to talk about specifically Amendment 3, what's in there, what's not in there, what they're lying to you about in these slickly produced ads on TV. Another outside group involving former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg just dumped another $3.5 million into the state of Missouri, outside money to pay for deceptive ads on Amendment 3. It's sickening. And there's no formal group here fighting it. With all the warning we had that this was coming, no formal group in Missouri is out there fighting for it. So we're going to talk to Jeremy Cady about that at around 7:35 this morning. A little later, we'll talk about the Evolution Festival and some of the changes that have taken place there. Steve Shankman is going to join us from Contemporary coming up here near the end of the show today. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Must also address the rise of violence against innocent Palestinians on the West Bank and set the conditions for a better future, including a two-state solution.
Hello. Are you Jewish? Are you listening to the President of the United States? He and Kamala Harris do not have the best interests of Israel at heart.
To the auto workers in Michigan, Georgia, and all other parts of our country, I am pinpointing you for greatness. Your industry has been decimated.
Yeah, who's working for you? Well, I think the union members have already answered that they know the answer to that. The Teamsters certainly know the answer to it. My guess is most of these other unions have the same problem the Teamsters do. Their people realize Donald Trump is the only choice in this election.
I've been very clear. I think we should eliminate the filibuster for Roe, and we need and get us to the point where we 51 votes.
Yeah, yeah. Why? Because she wants to pack the United States Supreme Court with liberals. That's what she wants to do. She even lost the support of one of her fellow Democrats when she announced that yesterday.
Well, despite multiple efforts to prevent it, death row inmate Marcellus Williams has been executed.
You tell him, Mandy. Absolutely. Despite lots of protests and calls for clemency, Missouri has executed Marcellus Williams at about 6 o'clock last night. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm happy that that happened. I'm happy that justice was carried out. Let's put it that way. I saw that his last comment was something about Allah.
All praise be to Allah in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my guess is at some point during his incarceration, he switched his faith, because I do not remember that being part of the original trial. So he must have converted to Islam at some point during his time in prison.
Yeah, you know, when I was looking at some of the reporters I know from, I believe, Channel 5 in particular, I saw that the way they phrased it was Missouri put to death a man who has always claimed he was innocent. And I'm thinking, how many people who are convicted of a crime, put to death, ever sit there and say, I did do it. That yeah. It was me.
Yeah.
Please put me to death. Please sentence me to prison for the rest of my life. 99.9%, I would argue, would always say, yeah, I'm innocent. So I don't think that's anything earth shattering that he's maintained his innocence the entire time.
Everybody in prison is innocent, aren't they?
Well, and arguably some are. Like, I'm not in denial that we have wrongfully convicted people here in the United States, and that is a problem. But I would like to think that the vast majority of the people who are in there should be in there.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely the true. And the statistics bear that out. But the thing about this one is it's not like there's evidence that he's not guilty. There's no new evidence. They lied about the DNA thing. You mentioned this yesterday. He wore gloves. He watched O.J. Simpson and learned that you wear gloves. There's nothing new here except for the fact that one of these Innocence Project people who are always opposed to the death penalty have decided, hey, let's focus on this and allege that it race played a factor because mm-hmm. there weren't enough black people on his jury when he was convicted. Therefore, it must be a wrongful conviction.
I see that pointed out in every online story is the makeup of the jury.
Yeah.
Was like one black person and the rest were white.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the evidence that they were talking about, I think, was the fact that they said, well, we've determined that there was none of his DNA was found on the knife. And you're saying, yeah, well, maybe he wore a glove just like other criminals do. But you covered the story back as a reporter for KMOV. And were you saying that they found her laptop?
Yes.
In his car?
Had
okay.
He went into the, they believe he went into the house to rob it, to burglarize it, and found her home. And I guess she fought back. She was a reporter for the Post-Dispatch. And her, I believe, husband at the time came home and found her stabbed 37 times, a brutal murder. And this guy had her laptop. Now, I'm sure maybe he somebody else murdered her and left the scene. We'll find the real killer eventually. And then Marcellus Williams just happened to wander in, pick up her laptop, burglarize the house, and I'm sure he had no connection to it. I mean, it just defies logic. All the evidence was presented at trial. That speaks for itself. The jury found him guilty, and they sentenced him to death. And so, what, I'm sorry, 16 years later, we're still arguing over that? That makes no sense to me. Or 20, what is it? 20,
so 1998 was 20, the actual 20, crime, yeah. And I think he was convicted shortly thereafter.
20-plus years later, we're still arguing over facts that were determined by a jury of his peers. And anyway, glad to see the United States Supreme Court and Governor Parson did not step in and stop justice in this particular case. All right, we will continue here in just a couple minutes. We've got Kim on a Whim coming up. We're going to get to that for you. I've complained on this station numerous times about my take on like this national image and likeness thing. Did you see this story? Remember Reggie Bush, the player with USC?
Yeah.
Who got in trouble when he was there for accepting like a, I don't know, a Cadillac Escalade or something from some alumni.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
He's now going back and suing the school for what happened 20 years ago. Because they didn't let him share in the profits and the money they made off of his name at the time.
It wasn't a thing.
Because they're able to get it now.
No, it doesn't work like that. Then people from 50 years ago should say that they want money, that they're owed that.
We'll talk about it coming up here in just a couple minutes. First, let's get to our national anthem, Carl. All right, welcome back. I want to get to this. I know in the scope of things, I recognize there are many more important things going on, but I think national image and likeness is ruining college sports. This is my opinion on it. It's the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's my opinion NIL is ruining college sports. Now that it's a thing, they all have to play the game. I get that, but I think it's ruining college sports. That said, I didn't see this coming. Reggie Bush, the former running back for the University of Southern California, is seeking NIL compensation from his football career 20 years ago. Now, he's kind of bitter because I believe he got in trouble at the time for taking some something. He took a car or something, if I remember. He was alleged to have taken a car from somebody there at the university, some supporter, and his family and all this stuff, if I remember that story correctly. But they disassociated with him for 10 years after a 2010 NCAA ruling. But USC had welcomed back Bush and had included him in their winner's circle and a bunch of other stuff. They appreciate what he's done. And he's now going back and suing them because he said they owe him money for the money they made off of his name when he was there 20 years ago.
How does he even have an argument there? Because it wasn't in place. NIL just took effect, what, a couple years ago?
I know.
I don't even understand how he thinks this is going to go in his favor.
In a brief from his attorneys, they claim he should be paid to address and rectify ongoing injustices stemming from the exploitation of Reggie Bush's name, image, and likeness during his tenure as a USC football player.
Does he have trauma, long-standing trauma from the, quote, exploitation of his name?
But wait. The case is not just about seeking justice for Reggie Bush. It's about setting a precedent for the fair treatment of all college athletes. Well, our goal is to rectify this injustice and pave the way for a system where athletes are rightly recognized, compensated, and treated fairly for their compensation or for their contributions. I'm sorry. He played in the NFL for 11 years. He made a fortune in professional sports, and those were not the rules when he played.
Mm-hmm.
NIL, if you could argue, has already rectified whatever he claims is the problem here.
I get why that's frustrating to look back at these current college athletes and think, wow, some of them are raking in millions of dollars. I wish I could have done that. But you know what? I don't feel that bad for you. In fact, I don't feel bad for you at all.
No,
zero sympathy.
No, it would be. I don't know. It'd be like some old NFL quarterback coming back and suing because he's not making as much money as today's NFL.
I only made $10 million. I need $20 million.
It's crazy. Hey, coming up, we're gonna get to Kim on a Whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
It's beautiful in design, it's functional in purpose, and the simplicity of its innovative technology is a wonder to behold.
It's utopian. It's brave new world stuff, previously unthought of.
When I first heard about the Sarco, I got very excited because it seems such a wacky idea. But then I thought about it and I thought, you know, this is actually what I've been thinking about a lot.
You probably wouldn't guess what those people were just talking about. Sarco is probably a word you heard.
I thought she said soccer.
They said Sarco, which is short for sarcophagus. They're talking about a suicide pod that's been dubbed the Tesla of euthanasia. A U.S. woman from the Midwest just traveled over to Switzerland and used this suicide pod to kill herself. And a number of people have already said they'd like to do the same thing.
Wow.
You need to go Google this because I've seen nothing like it. And I have a lot of thoughts on it. But basically, this particular woman was 64 years old. She became the first person, she did this week, the first person to use the suicide pod to end her life. She was immune compromised, doesn't say specifically what she had, but she took this pod thing that relatively small. I mean, obviously you have to fit inside of it, but it looks kind of futuristic. It looks almost like a spaceship.
You know what it looks like, Carl? In the Star Trek movies when Spock died and they jettisoned his body off of the ship.
In Star Trek 2.
That's what it looks like. That's what the pod looks like.
I thought it looked like Superman from Superman the movie.
Oh, maybe.
When he came to Earth from Krypton.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Nerd talk.
So what it does is you get inside and the machine says, if you want to die, press this button. Those are the last words that you hear.
Wow.
And what it does is it floods the chamber with nitrogen, which then basically plummets the oxygen levels. And then it says within 10 minutes, you die. They claim that this is going to be like, you know, as if you were to peacefully die in your sleep. The whole idea is that you can take it anywhere. So you could take this pod and place it on the beach, take it and place it on a mountaintop. This woman took it to the middle of a forest. Now, what's interesting about this, too, is that so Switzerland's one of the few countries, I guess, where people can go to, I guess, legally end their lives through assisted suicide. You can't have a doctor, though. It can include outside help, but you can't have a doctor. So the way they got around this was they didn't actually build this. They 3D printed it. So they were more or less hands off is kind of what they said, because I listened to multiple interviews with the people who were behind this Sarco, as they've called it. But now several people have been arrested in connection to this woman's death because it's very convoluted, but you still in Switzerland can't have death by euthanasia.
I know there are European countries where you can, correct?
I believe so. Well,
I know
that Switzerland's not the only one where you can do this.
So it said here that this is the quote from the doctor in the Daily Mail is interesting. It looked exactly as we expected it to look. My guess is she lost consciousness within 2 minutes and died within five. We saw sudden small contractions and movements of muscles, but she was probably already unconscious by then. So the doctor didn't even know if she was conscious or not when she basically suffocated to death in this pod.
Right. The doctor who was behind it said that within a couple of, when you're inhaling, after a couple of inhales, you would start to get very like lethargic. Right.
Right.
And then just minutes later, your life would be over. It's like, you know, I suicide is obviously a very touchy topic. I know people who have ended their lives this way, starting back in high school, and it is so incredibly sad. I know so many people who struggle. I just worry that, well, I have a lot of concerns in general with it, but in particular with this Sarko pod, as they're calling it, I feel like they're almost glamorizing it. It feels like this is looked at as, well, this is the way you, if you're suffering, this is just the way you can go. You know, like there's, it's not this idea, this mentality of like persevere, you know, you can get through this. And I don't know. I do not like this. I understand, I guess, the thought behind it, but I do not, especially as a Christian, I do not agree with this.
No, I don't either. It says here, there's another story that says the makers of the Sarko suicide pod have been accused of manipulating and exploiting an American woman looking to end her life. They manipulated her into spending all of her money before she crawled inside of this thing.
There is, by the way, an emergency exit, they say, but I think that you can pull or push out to leave, I guess, if you change your mind, and some button you can also push. But if they're saying that you're very lethargic after a couple just...
Yeah, it would be a little late
inhaling,
at that point.
I don't know how you would even really have the strength or the wherewithal mentally to be able to do that. I mean, you've got like one breath in to probably change your mind, and then it would be too late. Now, it seems like, because my first thought, too, was also, well, what if somebody is like power of attorney and they decide, you know, somebody's in a coma and they're like, well, yeah, this is the way they want to go. My assumption would be that you would have to do it internally, that you can't just, you know, put somebody in there and then press the button. Like, this is something that you would have to do yourself.
Yeah, and that's clearly what they're trying to skirt, right? The law that says you killed that person as opposed to they killed themselves.
That they made the decision. They're trying to say you're given some code, so they're also using that as an argument to say clearly they're in the right mental state. You know, they had to be at least somewhat with it, I guess, in order to make that decision to be able to climb in this and hit the right buttons and enter the whatever code you're given.
So if I'm understanding the story correctly, there's a debate even in Switzerland over whether or not this is legal.
Yeah, well, because you can't use euthanasia there. So yes, you can end your life legally there, but you can't use euthanasia. Well, this obviously would be some form of that, they're saying.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, this was a Midwestern woman who traveled over there specifically to do this. And they're saying, well, because this is 3D printed, you know, this is kind of the model, and now anybody could do this. So how long until this really starts to take off? And people from the more and more people from the U.S. are traveling over there and just saying, well, this is the way I want to go. There was one article I read where there was a couple who looked to be maybe in their 60s or 70s, not old at all, and they've both said this is the way they want to go. Like, they've already more or less signed up saying, yeah, this is what we're going to do to end our lives. Because I think they even made like a double pod. I don't know.
Just to be clear, there are no sarcopods in America that we know of.
No.
There's none anywhere near P. Diddy's prison cell, correct?
Not that I'm aware of, Mark, but that might be a good question to ask.
Honestly, he's on suicide watch. So you'd need to. These are pertinent questions right now, because before he Epstein's himself, we need to know that there were no sarcopods involved.
It's creepy. You should go. I know it's you know, we're trying to describe what it looks like to you. You should Google this sarcopod.
Yeah, SARCO. Sarko suicide pod. How disturbing.
It is I mean, it's like a gas. I'm not even gonna go there. I just think it's disturbing, and I think more and more people are gonna view this as like, well, I'm having a hard time, I have this diagnosis, or I'm having a hard time, I'm depressed, and this is the way that, like, I'm just gonna go this route. I don't know. And my heart goes out to anybody who's dealing with that. I can't imagine. I just don't think this is the answer.
No, I would agree with that completely. Wow, it was not even on my radar. I mean, obviously, I knew there were some people that went somewhere into Europe last year, and two sisters who committed suicide, and their brother didn't even know it was going to happen. Like, they just went over there together and committed suicide
together.
Yes, at the same time.
Not euthanasia.
it was basically euthanasia. It's legal in at least one European country. I'll have to look into where that happened, but I do remember reading the story, and I know those were the facts of the story. Wherever they went, it was legal. It wasn't Switzerland, but it was somewhere over there. All right, good. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about the situation I was talking about out in Baldwin. I don't know when the story is going to be posted, but I got interviewed by the Post-Dispatch yesterday regarding this story, and it's something I've talked about on the air already, so I'm not there's nothing dark and dirty here involved in this. My name got mentioned in an investigation into the former chief in Baldwin, and we'll just clear that up right now when we come back in just a minute.
Don't screw around with me.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, so you've heard Kim and other news outlets have been reporting on this story out in Baldwin, the former chief out there, Doug Schaeffler. They let him go, and there was an investigation going on. Basically, there was a little bit of a coup, is how I read it. His staff, some of the staff underneath, did not like the way he ran the department, and they basically, a bunch of them got together and complained about him, and the city ended up firing him. Now, maybe with or without cause, I'm not making a judgment on that. I'm just saying he got fired as police chief in Baldwin. I've known Doug for a long time. I get a call yesterday from a Post-Dispatch reporter. I didn't know the guy, but he somehow got my cell phone number, probably from their education reporter. And he called me to get comment because I ended up getting mentioned in this report that got filed on CaseNet about the investigation into the chief of police out there. And part of their allegations against Chief Schaeffler is that he abused the Regis system, which is the regional background check system, where if an officer pulls up on a traffic stop and they're sitting in their car and they're not getting out yet, you're wondering what they're doing, they're calling in your license plates to check you out before they walk up to the car to find out if you have any outstanding warrants, if you are who you tell them you are when you walk up there. They do this every day. It's a regular part of policing. But there are guidelines for when you are supposed to use it and when you're not. Like, you can't just decide, I guess, that you don't like your neighbor and you want to run a background check on them. You're not supposed to do things like that. But dealing with me in particular, I get mentioned because I go to the Range St. Louis West. I'm a member out there. I've been going there for years and years and years. I went to buy a gun a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago. And I went to buy a gun, and the federal background check came back as a denial. They denied me the right to buy a gun. I talked about this on the air when it happened. Well, I freaked out. I'm like, what's going on here? I mean, are they targeting me because I'm a conservative talk show host? Has somebody stolen my identity? And immediately there was no answer to that, because when the FBI denies you on a background check, they don't immediately provide the reason. You have to email them, and then they have to get back with you within like 48 hours to tell you why they denied you. So in the meantime, I'm freaking out. I'm like, okay, clearly I've never been convicted of a crime. I've never done anything that would prevent me from owning a firearm. What's going on here? So the people who handed me the thing said, well, you know, I mean, they're in Baldwin proper. I mean, the range is in Baldwin. They're like, well, call the police department and see if they've got anything in their records that would show why this was denied. So I called over to the chief's office. I'm like, I think my identity's been stolen. Can you help me look into this? Well, they did. And apparently part of what they did was run a background check to see if somebody had stolen my identity and then been convicted of a crime that I didn't know about. I get included in this report on the chief because one of his underlings over there suggested that what he did in that case was improper. But if you can't use the Regis system to investigate identity theft, what's the purpose of it? I don't understand that. I told the Post-Dispatch reporter, this isn't a case. What they had accused him of doing, apparently, at some point was running background checks without the knowledge of the individual or without a proper reason for doing it. In this case, I initiated the call. I called and asked the police department to find out if I was a victim of identity theft. And they called me back and said they couldn't find anything. Well, it ends up, the FBI got back to me and told me that a police agency in Indiana, the Indiana State Police, had entered some guy's name into the system that was identical to mine, who had been convicted of a felony and was serving jail time in Indiana. So they told me what I needed to do. I had to send them paperwork. And about a week later, we got it cleared up. And I was able to go in and finish my gun purchase, right? And now there's a letter in my file saying, hey, by the way, there's some guy in Indiana with the same name. Don't confuse these two. And that got cleared up. But I told the Post-Dispatch reporter, I'm like, I'm not exactly sure why you're calling me other than the fact that I'm the only person's name you recognized in this entire report. And because I'm a radio personality, you thought there was a story here. There's no story. I don't see how them doing an investigation into identity theft had anything to do with whatever else they're looking into with the former chief over there in Baldwin. But that story, I expect it'll be filed today. The guy told me he was under deadline last night at 6:00. So I expect to be in the Post disgraced at some point. It'll be interesting to see how they play the story.
I'll be waiting to read that.
I'm telling you,
see how they paint
the
it.
Truth here on the radio. So there's no doubt about what I told. That's exactly what I told them because it's the truth. All right, coming up, we've got Genevieve Wood and Jeremy Cady on Amendment 3. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.